Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet. Go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for the episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Penland, coming to you live on Thursday, September 21st, 2023. As always, I am joined by Ben Gorwitz. Ben, you ready, man, for another week of football?
I am. Big opportunity for my team. We'll see what they do with a little bit of adversity. So, yeah, I mean, it's a huge week. I think we have 6 ranked on ranked teams, or maybe 7. So, huge week in college football. The slate is immaculate. It is perfection. It is something. Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, this is the best slate of the year for sure for college football. Ben, before we get things, actually, we'll wait till after we talk about this topic. So, obviously, me and Ben don't have any picks for the Alabama and Ole Miss game. We're going to start out with that game. The game's currently lined at 7 points with Alabama being favored. Ben, there's been a lot of stories coming out of Tuscaloosa, man. Jalen Milroe was suspended. Kevin Steele's not calling the defense. The team turned their back on Buckner, Tommy Rees, and Nick Saban's are button heads. Ben, what do you make about all this drama coming out of Tuscaloosa and what's going to happen in this game this weekend? First, let's talk about the drama.
I don't know where he's getting that from. I mean, if it would be weird for Alabama to be paying Steele as much money as they are paying him. Mm-hmm. To not have full control over the defense. So I guess that part's a little weird to me. I haven't seen anything that's credible about Milroe being suspended. I know it's a theory out there. I think it's strange that he didn't play at all in the game, considering Buckner started and got pulled pretty quick. I really don't think Ty Simpson looked that bad, though. Like, I don't think there was ever a reason to pull. Like, okay, like, he made throws. His problem, it just seems like he's just not ready for the moment. Like, we just want everyone to be ready as a freshman, and he's a sophomore now, and he's not ready. But I think you can see that he does have talent. He just holds on to the ball too long. Obviously, part of that is the offensive line's not a strength like we thought it would be. But I don't know if I buy into the Milroe. I think the defensive coordinator not calling the plays maybe more has more truth to it than Milroe being suspended. In terms of the last one, Tommy Rees and Saban, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you knew this. I don't know how much is public knowledge, but you don't have free reign when you work at Alabama.
Yes,
you run. You run Nick Saban's system, and you can make tweaks to it defensively and offensively. Like Nick Saban has an offensive system. He wants to run. He wants to run with, you know, the Bryce Young offense is going to look different than what they were planning on doing this year. Or at least I hope so. But yeah, it's Nick Saban's offense that he implements in the offseason, and it's your wrinkle to it. Maybe there was some misunderstanding about that, but I'm sure that that was the expectation. When you don't just take the job at Alabama and think that you're going to do whatever you want with no one monitoring you, right? So that's what I would have to say about that. In terms of, or I'll let you go before the game.
Yeah. So, Ben, I'm going to be honest with you here. I thought about this a lot more today. And, look, I think Nick Saban runs a pretty well-oiled program. I think he would have already told Tommy Rees to hit the frickin' road, buddy, and kick rocks if he didn't want to run his system. So I'm going to throw that one out the window right there. I also think, too, that people are overreacting a little bit to Alabama. I mean, we did come on here. Clearly, both of us, I know I did for a fact, pick Texas to be in the Final Four. So, in our opinion, you lost to one of the four best teams in college football. I don't think that was that big of a deal. And honestly, Texas hit some big plays. The defense played great. I mean, sure, Jalen Milroe was limited, but that game was pretty bad to look at. I personally think one of two things happened, and I'm leaning more towards the first one. I'm going to say, I think Jalen Milroe was suspended. I think that something or other happened that's not coming out. Nick Saban keeps everything pretty close to his chest. I think he must have been suspended for something or other. And I don't buy the one where the team didn't get behind Buckner and no-showed the game because of that. I think Jalen Milroe was probably suspended for this game. I mean, he was still out there, like, you know, hyping up the team and giving them the pregame speech. I think something probably happened, one or the other, where Nick Saban, like, maybe Nick Saban's trying to use this as like a coaching situation, you know, where he wants to coach him hard and
he
crack
said
down
he liked
hard
his
on him.
Response.
Yeah, exactly. He said he liked his response. Maybe he told him, you know, like
to be
maybe,
benched. But.
Yeah, maybe he had some sort of response they didn't like, and they told him they're benching him for the game, and they want to see how he responds. And based off that, they'll decide if he's going to play again. And clearly, Saban liked how he responded, and he's back in here. Nick Saban's not going to let the wheels fall off like this. It's Nick freaking Saban. Don't you agree, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely agree. But at the same time, he went on the Pat McAfee show like he does every Wednesday. And he's like, Milroe is our guy. He's our quarterback. We think he gives the best chance to win. He has nothing to prove. I think Milroe has everything to prove.
Well, that's why I think he was suspended.
Milroe, he's had six starts, if you include two this year, and I believe he had four last year. I think the Arkansas game, he played really well. Like, he hasn't played that well for four quarters in many of his starts. He can run. He can't read a defense. I don't think he can play quarterback. I think he's just an athlete that can make a
Correct.
Throw if you give him time.
Exactly. I 100% agree with you on that.
I think Ty Simpson's a quarterback. He's just not ready to play.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's more so what happened is that. And I just think that Alabama fans need to chill out. I can't remember the other half point that I was going to make, but ultimately, though, I think that's really what happened with the whole Milroe situation. Oh, the other point I was going to make was this. Jalen Milroe, like you just said, he's a much better runner. Maybe they're going to run the ball a lot more with him here in SEC play, and they didn't want to risk him getting hurt out there with South Florida running around trying to make a big play against a bad South Florida defense. And maybe they wanted to keep their cards close to their chest and not really show Lane Kiffin the type of offense they want to run.
It
so,
was,
you know,
a
kind
monsoon,
of,
too.
Yeah, exactly. It was a monsoon, too. I think everything's a huge overreaction. And, Ben, that's going to lead me into my pick for the game here. This is not an official bet for me. I'm not betting on this game. I think there's still a little bit too much uncertainty. Ole Miss did not look good against Georgia Tech last week. I was texting Ben during this game. I did not think Ole Miss looked good, and we were very fortunate to cover. Lane Kiffin knows the spread, and he did that just to keep the boosters happy. I personally am not impressed with Jackson Dart as a passing quarterback. We haven't even seen their stud wide receiver who transferred in from UTSA play. Quinshon Judkins has been hurt, too. He hasn't really played.
I think he is this week.
No, he's playing for sure, but is he 100% healthy? We don't know that. I think this is the all-time buy low of buy low spots on Alabama. We both picked Texas to be a top four team in college football. If Texas is a top four team in college football, this is the ultimate free roll and buy low spot on Alabama. I think, I mean, don't get me wrong, Lane Kiffin knows how to coach Saban pretty close, and he knows how to play against this Alabama team, and his team will show up to play. I just think Alabama might be a lot better than them, so I'm rocking with Alabama -7 would be my pick. I'm not officially playing this game. I will not have any money on it. I'll be watching as a fan.
Yeah, there's no official play for me. I mean, I couldn't convince myself to put money on this Alabama team right now. Lack of pass rush, no offensive flow with by any means. I would say a top five player on the team has been the punter so far. It hasn't looked pretty on offense. It's hard to lay points. I did find this interesting fact. So Lane Kiffin is 0-4 versus Nick Saban, like a lot of his assistants. However, in three of those four games, his team was within one score
Yep.
for all but 8.5 total minutes. Also, in two out of the last three meetings, Ole Miss had a lead or was tied for 72% of the entire game. This has just been a classic of it's what I've always said about Sarkisian. It's what I say about Kiffin. It's been all USC coach Lincoln Riley. They're the same type of guys. Like, they don't coach for fourth quarters all the time. Four quarters all the time. Lane Kiffin likes to get cute. He goes for it on unnecessary fourth downs. And then when his defense gives up 7 points, he's like, well, shit, that wasn't supposed to happen. It's like, you caused it, dude. So I think Sark's figured it out a little bit. I don't know if I don't think Lincoln Riley's figured it out because I still don't know if they have a defense or not. But yeah, it's the same thing with Lane Kiffin. It's too unpredictable. If I had to put something on this game, so no official bet, but I would take Ole Miss with the points.
Wow, we got the Alabama guy saying he would take Ole Miss. I feel like that's just Ben trying
Not to
to
win the game. Not to win the
downplay his
game.
team here. I
Not to
think
win the
that,
game.
no, I agree with you. I agree with you. I just think that I think you're being a little too negative here, Ben, which is the classic
I got
Alabama fan.
nothing to be positive
You're
about.
used to winning too much, man. Your team is still a 9-3 football team. Hold your horses, Ben. I'm here to look. I'm not just saying this because I like Ben and Ben's my friend. I'm saying this truthfully. I think Alabama fans are a little too critical, which I mean, look, looking at it from an FSU fan perspective here, y'all are being too critical. You know what I mean? But looking at it from your perspective, where you should win the national championship and go undefeated, you might be right. So.
We don't do mediocrity well.
Yeah, you don't handle losing well. It's okay. It's okay, Ben. Anyway, though, guys, we have a stellar slate of college football. So what we're going to do for you guys, how we always do it, we'll give out our best bets, then we'll talk NFL, and then we'll circle back to the best matchups that we don't have any bets on. Ben, where do you want to take us to start your day off?
I have two games at noon and one at 3:30. I'm gonna start with my noon, of course. I really like this play. Kentucky -13.5. They're playing at Vanderbilt.
Like it.
Vanderbilt ranks horrifically against the pass, their pass defense right now. Let me pull it up. It's not looking good, I'll tell you that. Their pass defense, they're 96th in the country in yards through the air given up. They're 100th in total yards, and they're 101st currently in points allowed.
Yeah.
Folks, Vandy has not played a schedule to where they should have the 100th or worst defense. Like, let's be
For
honest,
sure.
right? They're coming off two losses in a row. AJ Swan, who I do think is a terrific quarterback for a school like Vanderbilt, like, I mean, he's got a lot
Yeah.
of, he's talented. I mean, the dual threat ability, like, Vanderbilt doesn't always have the best quarterbacks. He can at least keep them in games. Coming off a little bit of an injury from the UNLV week, I think the week before, he's been a little banged up. This is where Kentucky's got to thrive. Kentucky's throwing the ball, I think, 57% of the time with Leary as their quarterback, offensive coordinator. It's last name's Cohen. Cohen, the guy from,
He's from the Rams, right?
you know, yes,
Yeah.
is really sinking with Leary through the air this year. And I think Kentucky. I mean, this is not some home field advantage that Vanderbilt's going to have. So
For sure.
I like Kentucky. I'm laying the points, 13.5.
Yeah,
At Vanderbilt.
it's low key a rivalry in Kentucky. Lexington's probably like 2.5 hours away, so I wouldn't be shocked to see a lot of blue in the stands of that stadium that they're still doing work on. Ben, you know where I'm going, man. Noon. My team's playing Florida State Seminoles. We're taking on the Clemson Tigers. And look, there's a lot I want to say about this game. I'm going to try to keep it as short and sweet as possible. Give me FSU on the money line -130. This line is a joke. Cade Klubnik is a turnover machine, and he is way, way worse under pressure, just like with all the stats that I laid out for you guys before they played against Duke and how Duke was able to pressure them. Sure, this Clemson defense graded out great. They hadn't played freaking anybody. And of course, the Duke offense didn't grade out great because they had short fields to work with because Klubnik's a turnover machine. FSU rested there's two of their starting offensive linemen and their starting safety Dent against Boston College last week. They were up 31-10 at one point, and they looked ahead and got a close game. And they still pulled it out. I've said it a million times. FSU has been to hell and back, and Dabo Swinney is a sore loser. FSU under Jimbo Fisher walked into Death Valley when Clemson was ranked ahead of Florida State and handed them the worst home loss in the history of this program, put over 50 points on their heads. Ever since then, Dabo looked for the day when FSU was down so he could run up the score on them. Also, during the COVID year, FSU had too much COVID to play Clemson. The game got canceled on the day of the game, and Dabo complained like a whining 3-year-old whose mom won't buy them a toy at Walmart. He complained and cried about it. Mike Norvell's like, I don't know what to tell you, buddy. All our players have COVID. Like, what do you want me to do? And Dabo was like, no, we came down here. This game's supposed to happen. Like, Dabo was freaking out. It was ridiculous. Mike Norvell hasn't forgotten that. He hasn't forgotten the times that Clemson ran it up and embarrassed us as a program. The kings of the ACC are back. It's FSU's conference. The ACC runs through Tallahassee, and we're going to remind them that FSU's thing is they smash the rock after they win games and keep climbing. Well, we're going to march in there, and we're going to smash that rock because Clemson's reign in college football is dead. Give me Florida State on the money line to blow Clemson out in this game. I don't even think it's competitive.
I think if you smash Howard's rock on top of that hill, you probably go to jail.
Yeah, well, I'm saying figuratively, we're smashing the rock. No, obviously,
I could see Florida State winning and smashing a rock to mock Clemson in the away locker room.
Oh, we already do smash the rock after every single victory, so we'll definitely be smashing the rock.
Oh, is that
that's
Florida
our
State
thing.
Thing? Oh,
yeah,
that's
it's the
Florida
thing.
State. I thought.
Nah, Clemson.
I was thinking. I heard you. I
Yeah.
Like Florida State. I mean, I don't know how you can like Clemson. I mean, they're at home. I just meant like as a team, like they're not as good as Clemson has been.
It's the fake
my other
sharp
noon
play of the
game,
week.
My other noon game, Cincinnati plus 14 and a half. They're at home against Oklahoma. Yeah, I listen, Emory Jones, obviously a familiar name, familiar face, former Florida
Yeah.
quarterback, is at Cincinnati these days. He is coming off a horrific game. And I think that's going to be okay. I think they lost the big – who did they just lose? They just lost to –
Miami of Ohio.
Thank you. I think Gabbert's brother or Gabbert – there's a Gabbert that's a quarterback in Miami, Ohio. But, yeah, I think coming off a bad game, a home game, ruckus crowd with Ohio coming – I mean, with Oklahoma coming in is a great bounce-back spot to get back on Emory Jones. Cincinnati's running the football very well this year. They have two capable running backs. Multiple games this year against, you know, inferior opponents. They both their running backs have had over 100 yards in the game.
Yeah.
Emory Jones can run himself. Was he at Arizona State after
yep.
Florida? Has he been everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
It's two really good defenses through, you know, only through three games, obviously, but two defenses. I'm going to take the Bearcats to keep it close at home, and I'll take that hook all day long, plus 14 and a half.
Ben, you know what? I wasn't going to make this an official play of the podcast, but I might as well make it since you already brought the game up. I'm sorry, Ben. I'm sorry.
Oklahoma?
I'm on the opposite side here. Give me the Sooners, man. This Oklahoma defense is legit. I know they haven't played anybody yet, but I truly think Cincinnati is arguably the worst team in the Big 12. I think Oklahoma's out to make a statement this year. I think the defense is going to step up, and they're going to completely dominate Cincinnati up front. I just don't think that Cincinnati's team's any good. I know a lot of people are taking the Bearcats with the points. I'm not saying like it's a public play. Like I've seen a lot of experts on it too. I think this Oklahoma team's legit and for real. I think that they're going to have no answers for this offense. I think Oklahoma rolls by 20 to 30 in this game. So.
Well, I disagree.
Yeah, me and Ben are on opposite sides on this one. The good news is, guys, somebody's got to win on that one. I'm going to keep us – I guess I don't have my games listed out in hour-by-hour order as I usually do, so I know for a fact I don't have any other noon game, so I'm going to go with a game I know starts at 3:30. I'm going to take Oregon minus 21 against Coach Prime and the boys. I'm fading them. First of all, Travis Hunter's out, and the public is still all over Colorado. Colorado's missing probably the best player in college football that doesn't play quarterback, and he plays both sides of the ball. That is huge that they don't have him. On top of that, since 2005 – Oregon's 38-23 ATS is a 17-point or more favorite. And when it goes to 21-plus, they're 77% going 14-4 ATS. I think this Oregon offense is going to come to play, and they're going to want the big stage as a time to make a statement. They're going to put their foot on Colorado's neck and run up the score. Give me the Ducks to roll in this game.
You said 20 and a half?
21.
21?
Yep.
21 or 21 and a half?
21.
Yeah, I got you. My last game, 3:30 game, I might fade this team every week, to be honest with you. If it's seven, I bought it to seven.
Okay.
I think. But Maryland, I'm taking Maryland against at Michigan State.
Okay.
I think Michigan State, I just think they're in turmoil. I think there's just so much happening there. I don't think they have a great amount of talent to begin with. But losing your head coach, you just get pounded by Washington, who's obviously one of the best offenses in the country, but Maryland is one of the best offenses in this conference. So Maryland's really been able to put up points. I know that you really love Talia Tagovailoa, quarterback.
Maybe Tua.
They've really been able to score the ball, move the ball downfield. They play with some pace. I think they route Michigan State. I think anytime Michigan State's facing a good offense, I think they get routed. I don't think they can keep up.
I like the play, Ben. I do. I don't have any bones in that game. I've got a couple of games left on here, so I'm going to go quick for us. I'm going to go at 4 p.m. Rice on the road at USF. Look, I need to get some winners. I know I've been struggling. We forgot to recap the beginning, so we'll recap at the end. I know I've been doing terrible in college football. I need to get some winners in, man. So give me a gin game here. I'm going to take Rice -2.5. USF got beaten down by that Alabama defense. They don't play against teams like that. They were in the game, so they're playing as hard as they could. I think this entire team took a beating. Also, too, Rice plays with a lot of tempo, and they have JT Daniels at quarterback. South Florida is going to run out of gas at some point in this game, and Rice is going to run away with it. Give me Rice -2.5 to win this game by 15 to 20 points. Another game that's more a degen game as well. I'm going to go with Texas State -17. Nevada is the worst team in college football, no matter how you want to cut it. This defense can't stop a running nose. Their head coach, he has run a dynamic passing attack at multiple schools. He also played a little backup quarterback in the NFL. So they have a dynamic passing attack. Remember, this team that beat Baylor, TJ Finley is their quarterback from Auburn. I like Texas State to get a huge lead and roll in this game. I think Texas State wins this game by 30+. Then I have two marquee matchups at night. First one, let's go to South Bend. We got Notre Dame catching 3.5 as a home dog. Give me the 3 and the hook here with Notre Dame versus Ohio State. Look, Ben, Ryan Day, we're waiting for him to get a signature win. He lost to Georgia. He lost to Michigan both times he faced him. I haven't seen the signature win yet out of Ryan Day, and it ain't coming here, man. We talked about this with college basketball, Ben. We thought winning in college basketball was about the team that has the 5 stars, but also adds the veterans through the transfer portal. Notre Dame's running back is an absolute monster, averaging 8 yards per carry, and Sam Hartman is the super senior sixth-year quarterback they have in here. Notre Dame is one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. I think Sam Hartman comes out here and throws it all over them. Give me Notre Dame to win this game. I think it's going to be a tight, low-scoring defensive game, but I think ultimately Notre Dame has too much for them. This is the first road game Kyle McCord has ever played. You got any thoughts on this game, Ben?
Underrated part of Notre Dame is their secondary. They got two really good cornerbacks that are going to face up against a lot of NFL talent at receiver. That would be a matchup that I was looking for. I don't really have a field point for this game, to be honest with you. There's not one outcome that I see happening. A lot of points, not a lot of points. I think anyone can win. I think by any score.
Okay, fair. I think it'll be a low scoring game. I don't know what to trust
at a McCord yet. Like first road game, but
exactly.
Like they do have more talent than Notre Dame.
They do at the receiver position, but I think Notre Dame's well coached. I mean, Marcus Freeman's defense really.
Ohio State's defense is pretty solid.
It is pretty solid, but also, I mean, both teams haven't really played anybody, so there is kind of that factor here. I just like the fact that Ryan Day is 1-9 ATS the last 9 times he's played. He's been favored over a top 20 team, so I think that's a good spot here to take Notre Dame as the home dog. I think, I don't know, I've got a lot of questions about Kyle McCord. My last pick before we go over here is, honestly, this is my favorite pick of the entire week. When I saw this total come up, I smashed it on Monday morning. Like, this is how long ago I placed this bet. LSU and Arkansas over 55. This is no different from me taking the over last week in LSU and Mississippi State. Arkansas has a very hard schedule, so they got to come to play in this game. They have a horrible defense. They lost their stud linebacker, Drew Sanders, to the NFL, and they lost a couple other guys as well. They have not been tested as they haven't played anybody, and they lost to BYU last week in an insanely high-scoring game. LSU's offense is in the final buy-low spot you're ever going to get them this year. Not only are both offenses graded in the top 20 on PFF, but LSU, when you think about it, they had 2 red zone turnovers and getting stopped against Florida State. They don't stop those. They arguably put up 40 points in that game. I think this LSU offense is extremely underrated. They scored 45 points last week in 3 quarters. I think that Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels are going to have their way with a terrible tackling Arkansas defense. I think this game gets over easily. All we need is 14 points from Arkansas, which they should be able to do in their sleep. Arkansas is actually rated a little higher than Mississippi State. I think the final score of this game is Ole Miss 45, Arkansas 21, and we get over easily. Ben, any thoughts on that game before we move on?
I would take the over as well if I played on it.
Yeah, I think it's the easiest over of the week. Let's go, though, here to NFL, guys. I got two best bets. This is a tough slate in NFL. Usually I'm a little more NFL than I am college football. Ben, where you want to take us first for NFL?
Let's go Packers money line. That's what I'm going to do. It's two really good secondaries with the Packers and the Saints. Both teams can't stop the run for their life at the moment. And Aaron Jones returned to practice. I got it at -115. Give me the Green Bay Packers money line at home. The Saints are also down two running backs at this point. Kamara is still suspended, and Williams just got hurt. The kid from TCU, Miller, is going to be their Mr. Everything back and not advantage Aaron Jones, even though hamstring injuries do worry me.
Yeah, I'm probably going to stay off this game, although I am leaning pretty heavily towards the Packers. I'm with Ben on this one. This is an ugly one, man, but the ugly bets get you paid in the NFL. Give me the Commanders +6.5. Over the last 20 years, there's been 9 times that 2-0 teams have been home underdogs in week three. These teams are 7-2 against the spread, good for 77.7%. Teams after playing in Denver are 24-10 against the spread. I'm actually really impressed with what I've seen of Sam Howell. He's been able to mount two comebacks.
Yeah.
This defense can play for sure for the Commanders. And I mean, the Bills, while I think they have a great football team, I feel like this game's gonna be very back and forth. I could see it being high scoring. I think Sam Howell is the guy, Ben. We talked him up to be before he shit the bed his last year in college. Give me the Commanders to get it done in this game. I think they win outright.
Second pick for me, Titans and Browns under 39. 9.5. It's a low total, folks, and it's there for a reason. Both offenses are atrocious. Both teams have a ferocious pass rush, and both teams have a great defense. Until I see Deshaun Watson play like an adequate quarterback, I will not trust him. Ryan Tannehill has seen his days under 39.5.
Yeah, I'm going to stay in this game, and I'm going to lay the points here with the Browns. I don't give a damn about Mike Vrabel's underdog record.
What's the spread?
The
Three?
spread in this game is 3.5,
Three
or
and a
maybe
half.
three. I'll double check that later. But anyway, I'm going to rock with the Browns in this game, man. Like, I thought the Browns, they lost that game to the Steelers because of the two turnovers and because Deshaun Watson somehow got two face masks as a quarterback, which I didn't even think was possible in the same game. I went over it. That was a historically profitable spot for the Steelers and a spot the Browns had no business winning the game. I didn't think any less of them in that game. That defensive line is for real, and they are nasty. The Steelers could do absolutely nothing on offense besides the 71-yard touchdown. I think this Browns defense is one of the best units in the entire NFL, and this is one of the last times we'll get a buy low on that unit. The Titans' offensive line has cluster injuries. Derrick Henry's banged up as he's questionable in this game. I think they blow the doors off them in this game. I think they roll. And also, too, the Titans are horrible against the pass. They were 32nd against the pass last year. They have injuries again in their secondary. I think the Browns should be able to throw the ball all over them. I think Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore and Njoku have a coming out party in this game. It doesn't matter. Nick Chubb's off the team. The spread moved 1.5 points without Nick Chubb. It's a way over adjustment here. I think the Brownies get it done.
I refuse. This is my last pick. I refuse to believe the Steelers can look this bad consistently. So I'm going to take the Steelers again, +3. The Steelers can't stop the run so far this season, but the Raiders can't run the football. I think Josh Jacobs has a total of -2 rushing yards in the first 2 weeks. So they can't run the ball. Steelers can't stop the run. I think if they can stop it a little bit better and force Garoppolo into passing situations, good luck against this team. Now I need Minkah Fitzpatrick to play in this game personally because I love him. But when you have the pass rush that the Steelers have between Highsmith, between TJ Watt, between the kid that just drafted at Wisconsin, between the guy that's the defensive tackle worth 99, this team is ferocious at getting to the quarterback. Steelers +3. That I'm scared of how easy that feels.
Wow,
And
it's at +3 now. I did not know that.
it's at +3.
Wow, I was thinking about taking the Raiders. I can't lie, but I saw Davante Adams didn't practice. If he's not in there, I don't want anything to do with them. I might look towards the under in this game, actually, at 43. Ben, you want to give us a recap of how we did last week, real quick, for the people before we get out of here?
Yes, in college football week 3, I went 3-1. Thomas, you went 1-2. In the NFL, I went 1-1-1. The 49ers pushed because Sean McVay knows the spread. And Thomas, you went 1-2.
Ben, why the hell did you let me bet on the Bears last week? I want you to, next time I ever say I want to bet on the Bears and I'm not catching double digits, I need you to slap me in the face.
Yeah, I don't know how you can trust that team. I mean,
I don't know what I was thinking, guys, but we got to do better. I know for a fact I'm below 500 on the season. It's not been a good season from us so far. We've been profitable every single year, so I know we're going to turn it around. Ben, anything else you want to say before we get out of here and we need to recap the picks real fast?
for the love of God, Alabama, win a football game convincingly.
I'm going to go ahead and make this statement before Ben recaps the picks and we get out of here. After Florida State's wins, I will become the most unbearable college football fan ever. We might even have to have a reaction pod at the beginning of the week next week for how unbearable I'm going to be. So, with that being said, Ben, take us out of here with the picks.
College football picks from myself: Kentucky minus 13.5, Cincinnati plus 14.5, Maryland minus 7. Thomas, college football: Florida State money line, Oklahoma minus 14.5, Oregon minus 21, Rice minus 2.5, Texas State minus 17, Notre Dame plus 3.5, LSU and Arkansas over 55. In the NFL, for myself, Titans and Browns under 39.5, Steelers plus 3. Don't screw me, Pittsburgh. And the Green Bay Packers money line. And then for Thomas in the NFL, Browns minus 3 or 3.5, and Commanders plus 6.5.
Hey guys, me and Ben got to get it one way or another. The good news is, Ben, we're at least one of us is at least going to win one game since we took the opposite sides in the Cincinnati game. So at least we know we can't have an over this week. With that being said, Ben, best of luck to your team this week. Best of luck to my team. It's been a pleasure as always, sir.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
As always, guys, we appreciate everyone who tuned in and we'll get back to y'all next week. Please gamble responsibly. Peace.